Well, praise God, brothers. We're going to go ahead and move into this thing. Glory to God. The Lord is certainly still worthy of all of his praise, adoration. And this is truly a day. We say this is the day that the Lord has made. But when scripture is talking about it, it was talking about it an entire season, an entire life period, not just a 24-hour thing. You can't even limit God's goodness to just 24 hours. We're just going to go ahead and light it up right now for him. And we welcome you to another gathering. Praise God, another gallery, another 15 minutes. We're going to just spend some time getting some perspective from the word and then go right into our prayer. And I know we've got some prayer requests. And so if you have, you can kind of get yours ready. If you have some prayer requests, and we will get into those after our 9:15 time. Praise God. If you just turn with me, as I'm going to talk about setting up with this new area that we're going in for the month, for today, just kind of as an intro, we're going to be starting from James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25 is what I'm going to be dealing with. Praise God. As many who've been on the line with us, as you know, we were talking about consistently applied faith to knowing your purpose was all last month. This year is all about consistently applying faith and how much that really means to apply faith to these things. It's not always just about the thing that we're dealing with, but a consistently applied faith, because we know that God has put into our hands to be able to affect and change these things that are going on in our life. Someone was telling me, well, you know, the Bible just says that, you know, it rains on the just as well as the unjust. Well, it's true, and it certainly does say that. You know, life does happen to everyone. But the fact of the matter is, how much rain in your life is directly affected to us in our faith. How much rain we see in our lives, the truth of the matter is, has a lot to do with us. Or else James 4:7 wouldn't tell us to submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, let he flee from you. So we have a lot to do with Satan being resisted in affecting our life. Although, yes, overall, life happens to everybody. Being in faith doesn't mean that no bad things are going to happen. Doesn't mean that you won't get sick. Doesn't mean that you won't have financial problems. Doesn't mean you won't have marital problems. But it means that when those problems come, we know that we have a faith that's going to affect us and hold us up where others may fall. The master himself told us to speak to the mountain, that it would be cast away from us. So our speaking to the mountain, our resisting Satan, this applying our faith has a lot to do with what we see in our life. And yes, again, I do understand, yes, that it is going to rain on the just as well as the unjust. But how much rain? That's the word of God lets us know that we have a lot to do with that. So as we're looking into this area of consistently applied faith to committing our ways unto the Lord, that's this new, what we're going to be dealing with this for this month. Consistently applied faith to committing our ways unto the Lord. Again, this is what kind of follow purpose. If we don't have a grasp on our purpose, and I really pray that that the brothers, especially the ones who have been on this line, that you were able to get a new, fresher perspective, even more ingrained with coming to know what God is calling you to do, God is calling your hands to do. And I pray that you've been able to get some kind of revelation on areas where God is taking you to. And that's what this is all about. And I pray that was your experience. Because I'm telling you, it was for mine. It was for mine just being a part of it. So let's just look into this. Committing our ways unto the Lord. Consistently apply faith to committing our ways to the Lord. And there's a reason that we say that, the reason that it's worded like that. We're going to see that again. James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. I'm going to read that. We're going to kind of go through that, and we'll move on from there. It says, But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. 25. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Man, this is, I do pray that if you have the opportunity to put your eyes on this, I really would encourage you to do so, or at least write it down where you can kind of come back to it later. This is again James chapter 1, verse 22 to through 25. Let me just give a word on commitment, and then we're going to get into this doer thing. We're talking about committing our ways to the Lord. There's three areas that really started to come to me to address as we go into this general kind of laying out thing that we're going to go into for this month. Issues with commitment and being committed to the Lord even specifically. One is the area of value. You know, a lot of times, if you can, you know, oh, I heard that they praying at 9 o'clock this morning. Well, I'm not sure. I might get up this morning. You know, I might, you know. But when you value it, you getting up. You know what I mean? When you value it, you know, you and I'm not, this is not to put anybody, and sometimes things happen. Sometimes we oversleep. All that kind of stuff happens. You know, but I'm talking about the general, as far as when you value something, it gets your attention, it gets your time, you're revved up for it, you're excited for it. And this is what happens when it comes to the Word of God. We're talking about committed. The first issue really has to be understand that we have to have a value for this Word of God. There's got to be a reason internally that we would turn to God, especially in times of trouble and times of challenge and things like that. But even more so, once we come to even just know Him, that's what really builds up that first thing. So the first issue of commitment is understanding value. The second one is trust. You know, in this world teaches us that when we're young kids, you know, when you first see that first girl that gets your attention, and you know, when we used to do this thing, you know, I like you, send a note. I like you. Do you like me? Check one, check this box, check that for all that kind of stuff. 'Cause you're trying to express that love, but the reality is that this world teaches you about getting hurt. This world teaches you about protecting your feelings. This world teaches you about not getting your hopes up. You don't want to get your hopes up now, and so this thing about trust causes us to come outside of what we find comfortable and pushing us into the areas where we start to trust something that we really can't see. And I don't care how long you've been a believer, or maybe you've had the opportunity to see certain revelations and things that you visibly saw that really startled your faith and that kind of thing. But we haven't seen the Savior rise from the dead. We weren't there. We're believing it, and it's touched our hearts, and it's changed our lives from the inside out. But it's not because we've seen these things. It's because that the Lord has touched our hearts so much that we know that we. It's beyond sensing. It's beyond seeing, feeling, and beyond all senses overall. We know it because there's something that's touched in our spirit. We know that we've been revived in our spirit. We've come alive in Him. And that's something that people can't take away from us. I told this one brother I was talking to, and he was telling me about, I honor people who are in different places and different faiths and different, you know, this guy, this young brother, God bless him, and he was talking about, you know, how he's coming to this newness. He grew up in the church, but he has this new, he sees it's all about nature and how just being one and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I said, that's cool. And he says, you know, he doesn't believe in a Jesus and that kind of thing. And I didn't combat him on that. I listened to what he said. But when I got a chance to share, one of the first things I said is, if I told you that your mom didn't exist, would you believe me? If I took all physical evidence of her being on this earth, her birth certificate, and took everything else, took all her pictures and everything else, is it possible that I could convince you that your mom didn't exist? He said, no, of course not. I know. I got my memories. I got so many things. I said, that's the way I feel about Jesus. And, you know, and that's you know, I'm not here to debate about a religion. I have a relationship with a person who's come into me and touched my lives in so many areas, and we've built up a relationship, and you can't tell me that he doesn't exist, because it is ultimately in my own heart. So there's a trust that has to build up in Christ. Next thing I'm going to talk about is the biggest area, probably overall, in dealing with commitment, is consistency. Consistency is the key to the breakthrough. Consistency is the key to the breakthrough. Brothers, consistency is going to be the key to the breakthrough. You know, there's so much that the Word starts to tell us about how the kingdom of God, I believe it's in Mark chapter 4, how the kingdom of God is like a man who cast seed in the ground. He slept and rise, and the stuff that he sowed, it came up. He really didn't know how. But what he was faithful to do was sleep and rise. He was faithful to this seed process. The farmers are faithful to their process. They don't just say, throw seed in the ground and then say, I'll see you in a month. No, they know that there's a consistency of coming back, pulling up weeds, making sure it's sunlight, making sure, you know, you get enough this, and making sure it's properly, making sure the ground was prepared, you know, all that stuff that farmers do that's a part of the process that, that enable their seed to get the harvest that they're expecting from them. And all this has to do with our commitment level and what we see from God. Again, one, value, two, trust, and three, consistency. From that area we read, and I see our time, and I want to spend going all the way through James, but here's what we're building to concerning this commitment level, being a doer. I think the verse 23 says, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in the glass. 24 says, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. In other words, it's like going into a mirror and seeing that your hair is all messed up, seeing that your shirt's all to the side, and if you're wearing a tie, let's say your tie's all to the side and everything else. And instead of standing in the middle and standing at that mirror and making the adjustments and keep looking in, you say, okay, I see how I look, and then you walk off, and then you forget what you saw, and then you go out looking all crazy. And, you know, and so what this is saying is this is what causes us to become a doer, and that's one of the key things I want to. This is where the faith comes in, because I've never really heard anybody say this about this. The word says, in church, be a doer of the word, not a hearer's only. So we say, yes, sir, I'm going to go out and do the word. But if you notice in 25, it tells us how to become a doer. And you don't just become a doer by trying to do. Verse 25, and again, James chapter 1, verse 25 says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the perfect law of liberty, perfect law of this New Testament, the perfect law of freedom in Jesus Christ, okay, and continueth therein, he... Now, what did he do? He didn't do anything. It just said he was looking, and he continued to look. He, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, what did the man do? It didn't say he did anything. Again, he was looking into the perfect law of liberty. He continued in with this word, and the word says that you continue in that word, you won't be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Before you even put your hand to it, the word of God says that if you spend time in this word, if you spend time in your relationship with God and continue therein, you will be a doer. I mean, you can't look into this perfect law and then not make changes. So when I was talking about looking into the mirror and about just going away, forgetting, no, this is how we're going to be committed. This is how we're going to become doers of the word of God. Not because we went out and said, I'm going to do my best and get it done. No, because you spend time in that word of God. And as you spend time in the word of God, it changes your perspective. And you change your perspective, it changes your thoughts. You change your thoughts, it changes the way you think, changes your decisions. Change your decisions, it changes your behavior. You change your behavior, you change your actions. You change your actions, and you change your future. And you change your future, you ultimately change your very destiny. And this is why change happens through this word of God. So becoming a doer is not about you doing it. Becoming a doer is you being committed to stay into the word of God, stay into prayer with God, growing in your relationship with him, and God does all things well. And listen, I know I'm buzzing. I'm trying to just get a lot of coverage on things that we may be going into this week. I'm going this month rather. But consistently applied faith to commit your ways unto the Lord. Being a doer is a big part of that. And you're not going to do by your actions. You're still going to become a doer by faith. And by faith, what you believe will show up in your actions. Brother, just look unto the Lord. Father, I thank you so much for your awesome power, your awesome peace, and your awesomeness that is alive in our life. We thank you, Father, right now that you've caused us to be doers of the word of God. And we are doers internally before we do the first thing externally. I thank you, God, for all the brothers that are on the line, that these brothers are committed to the will of God. These brothers are committed to the word of God. These brothers are committed to do what you have called them to do, for you have already changed their lives on the inside. You've given them purpose. You've given them potential. You've given them dreams. You've spoken to them, not just in the micro of the incident, but in the macro of the calling that you've called them to, that there's greater things alive. There's greater things before them than anything else that is approaching them. We thank you, God, and we declare boldness in their lives. Boldness to be able to walk in a good courage to do those things that you're calling them to. Boldness, dear God, we declare in your name, in the name of Jesus, that they will enter into, even in their prayer time, that they can even enter into the holies of holies by the blood of Jesus. Boldness, Lord, that they can have an unreserved approach with you in all courage and all confidence and known understanding, that they have unreserved free access into the throne of God, and that you hear them and that you love them and that their prayers have power because they are because because you approach them boldly unto the throne of grace, dear God. We thank you, Lord, that you've also given them boldness and confidence even towards the works of Satan, that they can resist Satan, that he would flee from them, and that they would know your will concerning sickness and disease and poverty, and know that even though sometimes these things may enter their life, they are by no means and at no time ever are your will for their lives, and that you've empowered them to overcome. And anything that comes into their lives that is not like you, let them not look at look to at it's a failure. Look at it as something that they've missed. Even second guess themselves, but they will continue to just look unto you, author and finisher of their faith. We thank you, Lord, that you're such an awesome God, and you cause us to do anything but fail. Hallelujah. Even in the tough times, there is no failure in you and there is no failure in us. Even in the challenging times, there's no failure in you and there's no failure in us. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us. You continue to speak to us, continue to build upon us, and you continue to call us as your own. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers, right on the line, just come off the line wherever you are and just give God some thankful praise for what he's doing in your life right now, seen or unseen. We thank you, God, right now that we honor you, dear Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And those who speak with other tongues, we invite you right now. Glory to God, glory. Glory, glory to the Most High God. Glory to the Most High God. Glory to the Most High God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for being God and being God all by yourself. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, brothers, we can continue on like that. And maybe we'll go into some other confessions and some things afterwards, but I'm looking at our time, and I do want to be respectful of that. I certainly appreciate all the brothers from being on the line. This is a great way to start your day, brothers. If you can hold on to some of these things that we've said, praise God. And I encourage you, brothers, to be a part of your, and we're talking about commitment now, to be a part, to be, show your commitment to whatever faith station that God has given you and placed you at, whatever temple or assembly where God has placed you in the name of Jesus. We declare, we pray that you be faithful to that and sow some good seed into those things. Use your influence, use your strength, use those things to the kingdom of God. Praise God. We encourage you. And if you're not a part of any church, you're not a part of any assembly, dear God, but in the name of Jesus, we certainly welcome you to worship with us at Wilmington Christian Center Church worldwide. Praise God. Actually, we are back to our, we're right now worshiping out of the Doubletree, 700 King Street in Wilmington, Delaware. We certainly appreciate if you're in the area. Even if you feel like traveling, you're not in the area. If the Lord leads you, just go ahead and do that. Or also we're still broadcasting our services online through Facebook Live. You can just go to our website and get that information, wcccw.org. Praise God. And you can follow the information there and you can see we have our 10 o'clock services. We have things for youth, things for the wives, things for marriages, and things just all over the place. God is just blessing us to be able to be a part of so much. So I encourage you, brothers, to really look at your commitment level this month. I mean, honestly. Look at your commitment level. Again, don't look at yourself as what you owe God, because God don't want you to be someone who owes him. I had this conversation. I got to throw this out there right quick. Had this conversation with a sister. I always remember this years ago. She always talked about how we owe God and how we owe God and how we owe God. And I asked her, I said, listen, your daughter does a great job of taking care of you. And she was a little older and she was staying with her daughter. I said, your daughter does a great job of taking care of you. She said, she sure does. She sure does. I said, which would you rather your daughter than say about you? If you hear someone come up and say, oh, your daughter does such a good job of taking care of you, which would you rather your daughter respond concerning that comment? She says, well, of course I do. I owe her. Or would you rather your daughter say, of course I do. I love her. And I'm telling you, when you understand that God's motive for causing us to be committed is not about him, you owing him something because you owe him. Yes, do we owe him? Oh my gosh, we could owe him from here forevermore for what he's done in Jesus Christ. But what I'm saying is that we love him and we do what we do because love is the greatest motivator of all. So in saying all that, brothers, a little bit of commercials. Right now, we're going to, again, for those who have to get back to work, who have other engagements, you know, we certainly honor you for being on the line with us. At this time, we'll go into more, a little bit more of our fellowship area and our prayer time. Now, I know I do have a couple prayer requests that I do want to present before us. But as I do this, I don't know if Brother Gerald or Brother Walt or anybody else on the line, any other prayer requests, we'll certainly, let's take note of those real quick, and then we'll just go into a flow and just allow the Lord to lead us as he leads us, if there be any. Wonderful, wonderful. Praise God. I'm sorry, Brother Everett, you said this is for your mom? Absolutely. Praise God. Praise God. Absolutely. We will lift that up in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone else? Absolutely. Praise God. We certainly will lift it up. I'm sorry, say again. Dorothy? Okay. Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else? All right. So praise God. We're going to be, and again, I invite the brothers who no prayer, especially concerning health and healing, to jump right in concerning Dorothy Kroom and Reverend David Ware Sr. We're certainly going to be lifting the prayer up in health and healing for them. But I also want to add to this list and share this with you that did have a tragedy also that struck in my family. And I'm not sure if he's on the line, but my Uncle Jack, actually his name's James McCann, but we call him Jack. He lost his great-granddaughter, evidently with, and again, not to get deep into it, but evidently the father was handling a firearm, and the discharged went through three walls and struck this 8-year-old little girl, and she perished a little earlier this week. Very big tragedy that happened, and I know it was heavy on the hearts of my family as well. And so we're going to be praying for my Uncle Jack and the loss of his great-granddaughter. But also, you know, we're going to be praying, and I've heard things, you know, obviously when things happen like this, we want to jump on, you know, people who seem like they were the ones who caused it and that kind of thing. But also want to pray for this father. Also, I'm not too familiar with him. But I also want to pray for this father. He's 35 years old. One thing I do know that Satan will certainly pick, and I don't know his walk with the Lord or anything like that, or even if he knows Christ at all, but I know that Satan is very key at picking direct times to be able to bring you into condemnation, guilt, and shame for things that we've messed up and mistakes that we've made. And this brother is going to be dealing with, obviously, in the death of his own daughter, for the rest of his life. And so since we know that all of us have a purpose, all of us have a calling on our life, there is something that's there. And we're going to pray for this young man as well, that Satan does not overcome him in any of those things. And he can actually be productive in what God is calling him to do in his life. So if anyone would like to start concerning any of those four, I invite you, and we're going to take it on from there. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Yes. It shall become. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, I'm so glad I could have this. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It is so. Praise God. Praise God. And I'll start. Praise God. Glory God. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. And if I can jump right on. Oh, sorry. Praise God. I was going to say, we just say that the Word of God is as the Word says that it is. It is medication. It is medicine for us. And the law of spirit of life is alive in us. And we thank you, Father God, right now for Reverend David A. Ware Sr., dear God. We know that he's been a pastor for many years. He's been on the battlefield for many years. And he's pulled down many strongholds of many people over the years. But even in all that he has done, our hope is not in his faithfulness. Our hope is in your faithfulness. You are the faithful God, Lord. You are the one who has brought healing to us through the finished works of your Son. You are the one who gave us life and gave it more abundantly. So our faith is in you. Our trust is in you. And we thank you for what you are doing right now, working, and we declare your health, wholeness, working in the life right now. Reverend David A. Ware Sr. And we just thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We glorify you and we give thanks right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on. to God. Glory to God. Praise God. And again, can we also pray for, again, Brother James McCants and in the loss of his great-grand. Praise God. Praise God. All right, well, we'll lift that one up. Father God, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for life and liberty that you've given us. We thank you, dear Lord, that even in the midst of some of the most tragic things that can happen in our lives, we know that you are still God and you still love us, and that we don't serve you just so everything can go as expected in our life. We don't just serve you because we don't want to go through tough times. We don't just serve you because we don't go through challenges. We serve you because you're worth serving. We serve you because you are our God who has established us in this relationship and has already brought us out of darkness and already brought us into this marvelous light and already brought us into this marvelous love that we have with you, dear God. So truly, that in itself is a wonderful thing, and more than we could have ever obligated you to do for us. But we just thank you that in that you didn't stop there, that you also gave us encouragement that even through tough times, and we don't get into blames, and we don't want to get into any of the strife that may have come through this situation. But we thank you, Father, right now that you'll come into my uncle's heart and continue to comfort him in this time, continue to allow him to see you clearer, even through this tragedy that we may not have words for, but the fact of the matter is that you are still God and you're still showing yourself alive in our lives. Let health, healing, and rejuvenation to his spirit life continue to go forth. And Father, in the father's life, dear God, we're praying for him also. We know that shame and guilt and condemnation are tricks of the enemy. We don't know where you're having his life, but we do know that right now, dear Father, that you are continuing to impress your love upon him, where he might not even be able to see or feel light or love, but you're going to send someone his way, speak a word into his life where he can see that this is bigger that you are bigger than anything that he could ever go through and feel, and that you can turn his life around, give it meaning and give it substance in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And we just honor you in that, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. McCants. Name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Christ Jesus. Thank you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus name. Yes. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. My God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it is so. Mm-hmm. That's good. 107. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, brothers, I don't want to cut off this flow, but I pray that y'all just continue in the same flow. I know we have a couple that have to jump off for some 10 o'clock prayers also starting, and also on my way into work right now. I appreciate your brothers, especially if you stayed on the line. You might not have even been a part of the actual prayer, but just praying along with us. I mean, this is not something that one person does, or one person gets a word on, or one person gets a revelation. This thing is a complete unit. We appreciate you all, and we're looking forward to more. We're looking forward to more on next week, where we can take it another step higher, and especially in dealing with commitment. Man, this is a huge deal dealing with what we see in our lives. So, man, we appreciate you, all of you. Love your brothers. Any last comments anyone else has before we close out? Praise God. Appreciate you, Brother Patrick. Absolutely. Brother Everett, Brother Dave. Love you, brothers, man. Absolutely. All right. God bless you all. Have an excellent week, and we're looking forward to seeing you on next week. Or hearing you. I guess we're seeing you in the spirit, seeing each other in the spirit, in Jesus' name. All right. God bless y'all now.
All right.